The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hello and welcome back to the Worst Pre-Made Ever podcast with me, Alex, and our regulars. We have Ellis.
Hello.
We have Gabby.
Hi.
We have Jake.
Hello.
And we have Kath.
Hello.
Yep, it's all of us today. No guests. That means no Nick, so we'll be better.
Well, he's there in the background. He's listening to
us. He's not there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
He's always watching.
Always listening, Wazowski.
And you can find our podcast on all the standard podcasting platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. I don't know any others. What are the others?
Do I have there's a whole list of them.
Is there how many? Like
400.
Okay, so there's 400 versions of this you can listen to. All of them are slightly different as well.
Yeah, we've edited out like stuff on all. No, we haven't done that. No. We haven't done that cause before.
And you can.
Well, that'd be a good way to get people to listen to it because then they'll listen throughout the entire thing.
Like
400
times. We're not making the edits more complicated.
It's not us that does it. So get on it, Nick. And you can
logic.
Also you can also logic. Watch these podcasts as well, so you can actually see us, which is unfortunate for you, over on our YouTube channel. What's the YouTube channel called?
It's https://https. Oh wait, hang on, I've already done that bit.
You sound like it's http
youtube.com/ WP pod.
It'll be at WP podcast.
Oh, at they changed slash all the, at WP podcast. Yeah,
you can find it somewhere. It's somewhere on the internet.
Just search for it. You'll find it.
Just search. Let's just search for a train crash.
Yeah, exactly. And you'll find us.
Anyway.
Yeah. How are you guys?
Oh. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Everyone have a nice weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't do too much actually. Played Final Fantasy 15 and crocheted. That was
16. Kath.
16.
That was
I was
year.
Watching.
Yeah.
Losing so. Track of the numbers now, aren't we?
Yeah.
There's so many Final Fantasies. Like, it is.
Well, there's 16. When,
16.
But it's not the final one because they've made, like, loads of finals.
Well, and I've never played a single worlds. One.
Yeah.
Have you not?
Nope. Don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is
literally
either.
I have no idea. The only Final Fantasy thing I've ever done is watch that film based in space.
Oh, Spirits Within?
I don't know what it was called.
That one again?
The full CG one, yeah?
Yeah.
The Spirits Within.
Is that the one with the three boys, silver hair boys?
No, that is Advent Children.
That's what I thought, yeah. I've forgotten. I played Final Fantasy. I remember watching my brother play it. And, man, what a time. Core memories of Cloud and... Is it Yuna?
Yuna is 10, so you're probably thinking of either Aerith or Tifa.
Or Yuffie.
Is this similar?
Or Yuffie.
I've not idea the what you're talking about.
No, the characters in Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, Yuna. That's one that I remember. Yeah, it was Yuna. And then there was also... And then...
Tidus?
That's Final Fantasy X.
That's it, Tidus.
Yeah.
All I remember is just people having really, really, really big swords.
Yeah.
That's 7.
Okay.
Oh, no, everyone has big swords.
Yeah, 7 is the quintessential, like...
Big two sword,
overcompensation
bitch.
Sword.
Is it the really annoyingly over the top swords?
Yes.
No.
Oh, I hate that kind of sword.
Yeah.
It's just impractical. It's like, how do you even get it through a doorway?
You wouldn't. Yeah, it's impossible.
You can't walk anywhere, can you?
Yeah. But those swords based off real swords, or they're just kind of like they're just fantasy swords.
The one that the main bad guy uses is similar-ish to a Nidachi, but it's like still 5 times the fucking size.
Yeah, it's called Masamune.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did have a bit of a crush on Lulu.
Oh, I've always had a crush on Lulu.
Oh, she's so hot.
She as is Fran.
Being that hot.
Fran from Final Fantasy 12.
Hang on, who the fuck
me?
Lulu is like mommy material, do you know
she
what I mean?
She is mommy, yeah.
Oh my god.
I mean,
it's like
I'm just looking at images of her.
Look, I get it. She's not your type, Alex.
No, I just said I mean, and then I didn't know what I was going to say.
Oh, okay.
But no, I'm just looking at... do you know what the largest real-life swords are? Without Googling it, the top three largest swords.
It's like a great sword.
They're all more than 2 meters.
Yeah, but they'll be the Zweihanders, which are the
German Zweihander is one of them.
They're over 2 meters. Possibly the bastard sword. I'm not sure if that's the same thing though.
It might be the same thing, but it's not there.
Nodachis are quite long.
There is a Japanese one, but it's not the Nodachi.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a Japanese one, which is a two-hander, which is just a gigantic katana.
Alex, I think you'll find us the Crown Prince of Fuhurara.
What?
I just Googled it, and that's the first one that came up.
What? You Googled the wrong thing, clearly.
Well, I don't know. It just said the largest swords ever, and the first one is the sword of Sheikh Mohammed bin Hamad.
Sheikh, sorry.
Hold on, Ellis, did you say Nodachi or Odachi?
No, N-O, Nodachi.
My cock.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there are two, which is weird. There's a Nodachi and then there's an Odachi.
Oh.
It's the Japanese Odachi.
Odachi, the one's more like a spear with a sword tip.
Oh, this is a monument. It's like 15 meters long.
Jake!
So it's not an actual sword.
And the last one, Gabby should get the last one.
Well, I'm assuming it's Scottish, or...
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I can't remember
Claymore.
Yeah, Claymore.
Oh, yeah, the Claymore. That would be it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was definitely when you
they're the longest
said it. It was like the Scottish
road
there somewhere.
Oh, and then if you're going ceremonial, we've probably got that 15-footer chase.
Yeah, 15.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Needs a crane to be like used properly.
Imagine using one of those in combat though. That's just how
what the 15-meter long sword?
No, the 2-meter ones. How the hell do you carry that?
Over your back.
Yeah,
you have it like that. Like,
no. I know how I know how you carry it, but how do you use it effectively? Because I couldn't fucking lift it.
Well, you'd be a lot stronger than we are.
That's because you're a weak person.
Yeah, they'd be trained.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what Jake and I are doing at the gym, actually. We're just training to...
I know, but...
To lift swords.
Fantasy swords. Yes.
I'm just going to put it...
You, they're for breaking into pike formations. And
yeah, I know. I'm just putting it in... a picture I just found in the podcast chat. Just look at the fucking size of it.
Oh yeah!
Like that is small penis energy.
Enormous.
That's well hot.
Well, that's definitely some Final Fantasy level shit.
They're for breaking through pike formations, things like that.
Hmm. Oh, so but your sword is longer than the pike.
So your sword is just as long, but heavier as well. So when you swing the sword, you whack into the pike shafts, and you tend to splinter the tips off.
Oh. Surely the best way to use that is to hold it out and do a Tasmanian devil with it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, yeah. Go, let it rip. It's like in Beyblade.
Yeah. Just spinning in a circle.
Yeah, exactly. Do you guys play Beyblades?
Beyblades?
Did you guys play Beyblades?
Yeah, I didn't ever play with anyone else. I had them, but I didn't have like anyone to do it with because...
Oh, I remember like...
That, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember like we went to Farmers in New Zealand, which is like a department store. And then they only had one Beyblade left because it was really popular and it had been returned because it was a bit broken. So my mum was like, oh, I'll get it for you. So then I got a Beyblade and then I had to like fix the tip point because that was the bit that broke, and I had put like a pencil lead in the bottom. So if you had like let it rip, it would like draw all over the table.
a broken Beyblade for a broken child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, sounds about right, really.
Yeah. Oh, sad face.
We used to play with them. Until they got banned at school.
Yeah, there was loads of stuff that kept getting banned at schools. Do you remember like Pokemon cards got banned?
Yeah, they got banned.
Then like
Pogs got banned.
Why does shit keep getting banned?
Friendship bracelets got banned in my school.
What?
I think they banned fucking bean bags at my school.
Yeah.
Why did they ban friendship bracelets? Were people being like left out and stuff?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Oh, that's so sad.
It's like you can't have friendship bracelets because the people who don't have friendship bracelets feel left out.
Did you ever
can't they just make friendship bracelets with someone else?
With on their
who
own.
Also doesn't
themselves.
Have a friendship bracelet?
Yeah, I'll be friends with me.
On both wrists.
Did any of you get married at primary school?
Yes.
No.
I got married in secondary school. Officially, technically.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you have to declare it on your...
No, so
does Kath know?
So one of the...
Who is this?
One of our teachers...
You married a teacher?
Jesus Christ, Alice.
For his I think for one of his birthdays, it was one of the house martyrs, and his house bought him one of those ordination certificates from Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
You can just basically pay to be ordained, and you can marry people. So theoretically, if I'd have actually signed paperwork... By Las Vegas law, I'd be married to some random person who I can't even remember the name of from my class.
Probably not too dissimilar from getting married in Las Vegas.
Yeah, did you know that this was happening, or was he just doing it in private where he just was like had two kids sat next to each other, like, marry them off?
No, it was a piss taking class to show how stupid it was that you could.
Oh, well, I actually married people.
It was our RS teacher as well.
Yeah, we had some.
This
similar.
Is ridiculous, isn't it? Yeah. Look, no, you guys are married. Isn't that crazy? Exactly,
I never got married in primary school. I was always the one doing the marrying.
Oh, right. You were the vicar, were you? Yeah.
Wow, I could see you being the bishop.
Yeah, it was me.
Why didn't you get married, Alex?
Oh, no one liked me that much.
Oh, you're the reason my friendship bracelets got banned.
Yeah. So thanks, mean. Alex. Yeah. Way to kick him while he's down.
Well, look, he's down when he was a child. He's not down now.
The thing is, I don't remember anything about friendship bracelets.
No, I don't.
But that's probably because I was never given.
So you didn't even find out about them before they got banned. Oh my god,
they might have been a thing.
No, to be fair, I don't remember friendship bracelets either. It's probably
did you
more
want
of a,
one?
What, did I want one?
Yeah.
Do you want one? You want one now?
Yeah, go on.
I can
have one.
Crochet you one.
Okay, look, because me and Alex didn't have any, let's be best buds, eh? With friendship bracelets.
Oh, this has gone downhill very
And then we
quickly.
Can get married.
This is going down.
Oh, wow.
Very creepy eyes.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get in touch with Alice's old teacher.
Actually, I think he's in Hong Kong now.
Was he dressed as an Elvis?
No.
Oh.
Yeah,
that is the thing.
It's not as good as a.
Fucking Malvern College opened up another campus in Hong Kong for some reason, or Singapore or something. Really weird.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they've got like a overseas campus now. Really bizarre. Ooh.
Oh, right, that's crazy.
Why is that?
I have absolutely no idea. To make more money, I guess. I mean, they're trying to get money out of expats, I assume.
I was going to say, aren't there a lot of British people who live in Hong Kong?
Yeah.
But
probably not as many as there were.
Previous.
Most of them have come back now.
Yes.
For reasons.
Do those reasons begin...
Communism thing's not great.
Do those reasons begin with bre and end in exit?
No, they begin with G and end in ping.
Oh, Xi pings it.
Yeah, that one, yeah.
God damn.
Oh, Xi pings it. It sounds like a rubbish Chinese eBay, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. Wish.com eBay.
Yeah.
Right, we need to get onto our topic because we've been missing this like 3 weeks in a row now.
This is it.
Have we?
Well, yeah, because it was asked ages ago. And then for one reason or other, we've never got around
to it. Have we ever had an STD?
No.
There's only one person who's going to be answering, or two people are going to be answering yes, I think.
Oh, have you one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? What? Do you
I was using a condom, it broke. Didn't know that the person had gonorrhea. I got gonorrhea. That then meant that a lot of women, I think, are like asymptomatic.
Yeah.
I only then found out that I had it because I gave it to somebody else.
Shit.
Oh, shit.
But you've never had crob.
I've never had crobs. No, I've not had crob.
No crob.
Singular.
Oh,
at least crob. It was
There's
like,
still time.
At least it was like one of the treatable ones, I guess. Rather than like...
The antibiotics I had to take afterwards have made me really ill.
Oh, no.
They knock you, apparently.
They're huge. So I had to take... 4 pills that were like that size, and then have a shot in my ass.
You need to describe what you're doing, Kath. Because
they're about an inch long.
So they're about an inch long worth of pill. I had to take.
So
four
it's
of those.
Above average, yeah.
Yeah,
above average length.
4 times above average for Jake.
Yeah, you guys are being generous. Come on.
Who was the second person there, Alice?
I didn't know if anyone else was going to say it, but I knew Kath did.
What?
Oh, right.
I find crabs annoying because they don't actually look like crabs. Like, if they were like clickety-clackety crabs, I think that'd be funnier.
What if they lived like pubic
the pubic
crabs?
Lice were just well, like just little giant crabs, like full size. Sure. You get an infestation of crabs, but it's like full size crabs.
I guess
why like, are crabs called crabs?
I guess to differentiate themselves from them from lice.
Right. But they're not that different. They are. Lice.
Can you just call it pubic?
They're
lice?
Just lice. They, it's just a different type of hair.
They do look like crabs.
It's a different area. Yeah. Like, what would you get?
I need to Google this.
What would you call lice in your armpit?
Lice.
Armpit.
But why? That's not on your head.
Well, lice go everywhere. Anyway, we're getting off track again.
I love
this wasn't the thing we're supposed to be talking about.
Oh no, they have tiny little clickety clackers.
Yes, we're getting off track.
Do you want some, Alex?
Do I want some? I'll ship you some. Just put them in an envelope and send them.
Just drop this on your knob when you open it.
You know how people keep ant farms?
Well, Gabby, some people do keep farms, just not in a...
Just not in a container.
Yeah, it's a dynamic farm. It comes, comes wherever I go.
Right, okay.
Bloody hell.
No, we were going to talk about what we all did before we did YouTube as a job.
I would say go from post-university or post-education, depending on whoever it is.
I think we should state what we did at university and then what we went on to do.
Okay.
Jake, main character?
Yeah, so I studied music technology at university with the intention of becoming a music producer / engineer at the end of it. Realized in like third year that like that wasn't going to be a thing, and like somewhat had been missold the course a bit because they basically at the start of the course they say 96% of people have been end up in employment after they graduate.
Oh, you believed that?
Yeah.
That just means they work in a coffee shop, dude.
Yeah, I know now. I know that fucking now.
How did you not know that to start off with?
Well, because I was like, oh, look, 96% is pretty good, I guess. You don't end up in employment. because it would be misleading to have that on
of
a university
it
prospectus.
Of course it fucking is.
So why is it there,
because all universities do the same thing.
So anyway, I was like, oh, okay, well, that's... God, this university is pumping out music producers. It's like 100 a year.
That's such a you thing to do.
I don't even think there's like 100 in England.
But at least they don't lie. At least they don't completely lie, because at least they leave that 2% of people that leave and just like die or don't have any life.
What about the 4% that do nothing? Yeah. So yeah, graduated with a 2-1 in music, Bachelor of Science, Music Technology.
What does 2-1 mean?
And then the depression hit. No, I'm joking. No, I was a bit depressed, actually, because you've been given like this purpose of going to university. And then
you might want to explain what a 2-1 means.
Yeah, what
mate?
Does 2-1 mean?
Oh, a 2-1 is a actually it's a pass mark. In the UK you have like a third class degree, a second class degree, and a first class degree. You can have like a third, which is below 50%, I think, pass rate.
Yes.
And then a 2-2 is a 50-60, and then a 2-1 is a 60-70, and then a first class is 70 and above. Mm-hmm. So you have to get like 70% and above on every single bit of coursework that you hand in order to get that one. I got 69.
Of course you did. Well done.
Yeah, it was a bit annoying though, because I was like 0.5% off getting a first, because I think if you get 69.5, you qualify for a first.
Yeah, I don't know I agree with this class system, but...
Yeah, we've talked about this before.
Yeah, I'm not going to go into it full, but I find that quite... It diminishes the work that other people put in, that they can't do the full whack for multiple reasons.
Yeah.
You know, say if someone is not in a socioeconomic place to be able to put 100% time into study because they have to work to get the degree at the same time.
I'll go on to this when I say my lot.
Yeah, you know, and then like you basically have to announce to someone what you got in that degree. And I understand like you want to reward people for doing well, but I guess that's why I kind of like what they did in New Zealand in some ways, which was like, okay, if you pass, you all get a degree. If you pass with distinction, then you can put that down. E.g., I was top of the class. But that's kind of it, because you still walk away with a degree that is equal to someone else.
Yeah.
And if they are interested, have the grades. If the employer is interested.
That's technically the same as our system as well.
So you
The actual degree has nothing to do with the grade. The grade is just the grade. The degree is either you have a bachelor or a bachelor with honours. That's it.
And honours is if you've done well.
It just depends on the course. If you complete your course fully, you do all 3 years, but you don't get a passing grade, you get your bachelor's. If you pass and you pass on everything, you get bachelor with honours, and then the grade is a third, 2-2, 2-1 first.
That's not necessarily it, because mine was a BA with honours.
You only get the honours if you actually pass. Otherwise, you just have the bachelor's.
Oh, so do you have an honours degree then, Kath, or just a bachelor's?
I had a Bachelor of Honours in English Literature.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Well, there you go.
I thought honours was if you did an extra year of study, so rather than 3 years, four.
Nope. That was just the title of my degree.
We've all got honours.
Oh! No. All right, then I'll take it back. I've got a Bachelor of Science with honours in music.
So, yeah, it's on the it's on the amount of... it's weird. So university stuff in the UK is on a credits based system.
Yeah.
So you technically can do, theoretically, you could do a load of different modules from loads of different courses, and as long as they're under an umbrella of a particular degree, you'd still get that bachelor's. And the honours just means you have X amount of credits above a certain amount. So you have your bachelor's and you get more credits, you get your honours.
Right.
So standard courses in the UK are bachelor with honours. Very few are just straight
bachelors.
I'm fairly certain anyway we're BA ons.
But then you can get like different levels of bachelors with honours, right? Like a first, a second.
So no, the
third,
first, second, and stuff, that's just your grade. It's nothing to do with whether you get honours or not. Honours is just for completing the modules. So as long as you pass, you've completed the module.
So does that mean everyone who has a degree has a Bachelor of Honours? So everyone
gets it with distinction
is what Gabby said.
Yeah, it depends on the degree.
Do you have to announce what grade you got?
What, on like
no,
a job,
not really.
A job form?
Yeah, so what class of degree
It depends
got?
On... It honestly depends on the employer. I've had some people who care a lot about what my results were. Mm-hmm. And then... A lot of them were just like, you have a degree, I don't need to know what the actual grade was.
Yeah, most just want a degree.
Right, okay, interesting.
It's the same with a lot of early employment with GCSEs and A-levels or equivalent. They just want to know that you have completed them.
Yeah.
And they don't care what your grade is, as long
as you've
got
the certificate.
It
depends on the subject, obviously. Some places are like, if you're looking at becoming like something to do with like science or engineering or something like that, they might require, say for example, they'll be like, to get on the course for university, you might need like anything above a C in biology, chemistry, and physics.
Mm. Yeah, which makes sense, I feel, because when you get to the point where you're talking about, like, let's say pharmacological stuff, doctor, medicine, engineering, architecture, it's like you want to make sure you're good enough that the house doesn't fall down once it's been
built. Yeah. So that's what the grading system's for.
Yeah.
So they'll pick people who have got like, I'll say like a minimum of a 2. Normally, if they're asking for a grade, it'll be minimum of a 2-1 because they want the cream of the crop. Otherwise, most employers are just happy to have someone who's got a degree.
Right. You wouldn't want to like employ someone who's got like a third in architecture.
No, exactly. Yeah, because like, if they do fuck anything up, then
pass with 40.1%.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
it's really difficult though, because what about the people who don't have the capacity to do that, like to put all of their full effort into getting it? And I guess like that's not just, you know, it's in that case, it's not just the naming of the degree that is the issue. Mm. It's the support that people have around
but
going to university.
There are options. This is going to be, some people will consider this a hot take, but I don't think it is. A lot of people who are going to university shouldn't and should be able to go to other institutions that would benefit them much more than academic study. So, for example, way back when, back in the 70s. My dad went to what's called a polytechnic. They don't exist anymore now, but they were designed around more practical applications. So things like engineering, vehicle design, building factories, robotics, you know, all the sort of more stuff that, but on the practical side of things rather than the theoretical academic side. So the idea being is that the people who struggled academically would have the other option to another place to go to where they could also get a higher education, but in something that wasn't academic, because, you know, like I imagine some of us, we are not very academically inclined. I'm much more practical. That's the reason why I picked the same course as Jake.
Speak for yourself.
But I think you still have them in New Zealand.
Yeah, they do exist in a lot of other places. So they shut them all down and folded them into the normal universities in the UK. So all the polytechnics disappeared. Yeah. And that's why there's now been a massive push for apprenticeships and all that sort of thing in the trades, because all the people who used to be tradies would go to polytechnics to learn how to become tradesmen and whatnot.
Yeah,
but now those don't exist anymore. So the only way to become a tradesman now is to go through someone else who's already a tradesman, or to go to one of the community colleges and learn from there. So they've just basically sliced out a large chunk. And the other thing is, as well, with university, you don't have to do everything at once. You could take a part-time course. It's the same cost, spread over a long period of time. So if you are economically up the fucking wazoo and you've got to work at the same time to keep yourself going, don't do a full-time course. Go part-time. Keep you know, if you, well, obviously this depends on if you have a job that can pay you enough to feed you and keep you going, but yeah, go part-time,
do as much as you can.
Yeah, as much as you can, because I think part-time would take, it means you can do a course over like 6-7 years instead of 3. So you still get the degree at the end of it, and the degree is worth exactly the same. It's no different at all, but you can just take more time over it if you have... It's specifically designed for people, say, who have children, so they can't do a full-time course, who are working for whatever reason, who maybe are carers for infirm or their parents or other siblings or whatever, you know. It's designed for people who have other shit going on in their lives and they can't put every single iota of their time into...
training.
Into study and whatnot.
Why didn't you want to get a degree, Alex?
I just didn't want to carry on with education. Simple as that. I wanted to go into working because I wanted money.
Right. Okay.
I didn't want to go to university because there was just nothing appealing about it. I didn't didn't really like school. So why would I want to then pay to go to school? It's just not really.
Genuine question. Would you have gone to a polytechnic if they still existed? Like, would you have done a more practical...
No, probably not.
Like a trade or...
No, still wouldn't be interested.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm just curious. Person.
Yeah, fair enough.
I like to just tell other people what to do.
Okay.
No, and then obviously I left college and I got a U in A-level maths. So that's fun.
Cool, good job.
I then gave that up after the first year for obvious reasons.
Not for me.
No, I just did a BTEC business, got a triple distinction. Triple distinction in that, so that's like triple A. And then I worked at a supermarket part-time for 3 years, and then I worked in a call centre for 1.5 years, and now I'm here.
Nice.
It's a bit of a wild ride for you.
Yeah. It's just... I don't remember a lot about any of it.
Oh, really?
I don't have a very good memory.
There's got to be like some like stick out points, because like, we were just saying, like, you must have some stories from like being working in insurance. Like, probably one of arguably, unless you actually enjoy it. If you don't enjoy it, probably one of the most mundane jobs that you could do.
Yeah,
in a telesales,
I didn't enjoy it at
position.
All. I remember I was working over the weekend once, and I was on the phone to some guy. He was making a claim. I was on the phone to him, and then he just heard like a child crying because someone had brought their kid into work. And he just asked if I was working from home, and I went, no, someone's just brought their fucking child to work. And he was like, oh, you're joking. And I was like, yeah. And then we just had a conversation about how it was fucking stupid. She's brought a baby into work. I'm trying to work, and there's this kid screaming.
You know, oh, my God.
That is unprofessional.
No, but it was a weekend, so it was fine. And she was like that with the managers.
Yeah, right. But like, just to advocate for the mum as well, you know, it's really fucking hard being a mother, and it's really hard like having children and not having anybody to watch it, and the fact that you also need to pay the costs for that. Well, you don't know. You don't know what child is.
Gabby, but the problem is, it's not my child and I don't care. So I don't want...
That is such an Alex take.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Just thought I'd speak up for them. Yeah. You know.
That's true.
There were a couple of people I spoke to over the phone that just seemed like really nice people, but the majority of them were just moany old bastards.
Is that because they just like crashed their car or something? They're hardly going to be happy. Hello, I've just crashed my Jaguar.
It pretty much, because it was all like middle aged to older customers. It was like Jag. Oh, fucking the worst thing I hated so much is people call in. I've just crashed my 2018 Jaguar and I wish to use my own garage. Oh, because we get we got commission based on if we got them into one of our shit garages. And insurance garages, they are the worst garages you can
I know. I've got a story.
And it's just like, but you get commission based on if you get them in. So I did my damnedest. In my last 6 months or something, I never lost a garage. I just outright refused to let them use their own.
Oh, really?
You know,
it's like, oh, it has to go to the dealership, and I'm like, no. You want your car fixed? We'll get it fixed. It just won't be very good, but you know, you don't need to know that.
And it'll take about half a year.
Oh my god. If it's non-fault, if they're at fault, then you know they can have it back within a week. But if it's like if it's not their fault, I don't really have to do anything other than get them over to the company that basically does it all for them. Then they just pipe on the costs and keep it going. And, yeah.
Oh, nice, cool.
The worst one, the worst thing, because you get, you also got commission for referral for PI, personal injury.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
right.
to our, oh my God, it's so dodgy. It's like, you know, so, it's like someone
crashed into me at 1 mile basically, an hour and I've broken my neck.
No, literally, it's like, you know, a fender bender in a car park. Mm. You know, you know, they bumped at a mile out.
Oh yeah, whiplash.
And did you suffer any injuries? They're like, no. Well, I'll refer you anyway, just to make sure you're okay. And it's so scummy. It really is. Man. It's like, oh, no, I'm fine. So it wasn't. It's like, but you might have broken your leg, so I'm going to refer you.
Brain damage from the.
I honestly think at one point I just told the customer, look, I get like £5 for a refer you, can I? And he was like, oh yeah, go on then.
That's great.
It was like £5 per referral. So I'm like, okay, I'll take that.
That's amazing. So it was in the insurance company's best interest to like refer as many people as possible to like milk the other party for as much as they're worth.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, that's terrible.
But every insurance company does it. It
doesn't surprise me.
And a lot of them use the same companies. So you essentially just start claiming against yourself, but you still want to pipe up the cost.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy.
What do you do then, Gabby?
Jonk's not finished yet.
Oh, is he not finished?
No, we kind of got sidetracked. Is it sidetracked or sidetracked? I think it's sidetracked. Anyway.
Yeah.
Got sidetracked.
Did you say tractored?
It's been sidetracked.
Yeah, so... carry on.
So then, finished uni, moved back home with my mum and dad. Then got a bit depressed for a bit because you're like institutionalized in your own little life and then it all gets ripped up and you have to go back living with your parents for a bit. Kind of bummed around for a summer. Then I think like a family friend posted like a note or a newspaper clipping through the door saying that there's this film course going on run by the Prince's Trust. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll do that because like, I didn't have anything else to do. And my up and coming music career was not taking off as anticipated, despite the promises.
Did you ever try Britain's Got Talent?
I didn't, no. They don't have Britain's Got Talent for music producing. It's all like performing.
Live producing.
And how are you going to do this? Well, I'll use a high band, multi-band compressor with a bit of 404 snare. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
The winner should be able to like send the judges to sleep the fastest.
Yeah.
It's interesting if you're into it.
Yes.
And then the guy who was running that was like, oh, you should you should use your music degree and like record film sound. And I was like, I didn't even realize that like film sets and stuff had like sound people on them because I didn't know anything about film. So then he took me along to like a couple of jobs and stuff. And that was the same film course that I met Krusty on, who's coming along and said hi in some of our streams before. Shout out to Krusty. And then I kind of used what money I had left over from university. I think it was like $1,500 or something, and just got really drunk. And then I bought like some like real basic sound kit and stuff. So I got like a mixer, a microphone, and stuff. And then just like tried to get on as many film shoots as I possibly could. And there are fucking loads. There are loads.
In the UK.
There's loads of student films or ones that you can work on for free. I was going to say that as well. So I basically just did like half a year to a year's worth of like free work, just gaining experience and stuff, learning how film sets worked. Then after that, I kind of like literally phoned up every single production company in Bristol. And said, "Hello, I'm a sound recordist. Do you want any jobs?" And
do you want any jobs?
I didn't say. I was hoping for them. Yeah. Anyway,
did you ever do any sort of adult film work? If you know what I mean, sound man for. Yeah, that one.
No, I didn't actually. No. I have filmed a sex scene in a film once.
Well, you filmed.
Did you sit there and giggle the entire time?
Were you in it?
No, they were very professional.
I think it was like, from what you've explained to me,
yeah,
is that it was so professional that it would have been awkward to laugh.
Yes, yes.
Like, that level
it
of...
is. Filming sex scenes in films is so awkward. It's like, the moment until you go, right, roll cameras, all sound, and then action, there is like, everyone's covered up. Then as soon as they say action, everything comes off. They film the scene. It usually lasts like 20 seconds.
Is there any penetration?
They do it in like smaller amounts. As soon as they call cut, the blankets come back in, they wrap everyone up, and everyone's just got to wait there awkwardly until the next take. And then it's often a closed set, so it's usually just the sound guy, the camera guy, and the director, and like the entirety of the rest of the film crew is usually in another part of the film set, i.e. not looking. So yeah, it's as soon as it kind of... Yeah, it's awkward. It's really fucking awkward, basically. Because, everyone's... We're like, what are you doing on the weekend then? Like, whilst they're naked and stuff.
We're fake bonking.
I know, but then he goes into the cinema and it's like, oh, this is like a really intimate scene. Oh, it's so romantic. La, 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 la. And then, it's like just the complete fucking opposite of that when you're actually making the film and filming it.
Yeah.
I did film for a bit. The work was really well paid, but it was really sporadic. So I could like some days I'd have like 3 days a week work, other weeks like stuff would go by, like 2 weeks would go by and there'd be no work at all. And then so it's just really sporadic, and so I needed to learn how to do something in my downtime. And that happened to be editing, and the only footage I could kind of get hold of at the time to like edit stuff together was of us like playing video games. So then, yeah, that's how the channel started, and then all that editing practice kind of got uploaded to YouTube at the time, and then it kind of took off from there. Really, that's up until the very beginning of the channel, which I think we've kind of
talked about
before.
You're a professional.
Professional. Whack Gary Barlow on the head with the boom pole. What else have I done?
And now we're here.
I've met. Colin Furze, he like makes stuff on YouTube. You'd know him if you saw him. He makes like he's like
if
like
you
a
said
crazy
Colin Firth, I would have been impressed. But Colin Furze,
no,
I thought you
Colin
meant
Furze.
Him at first, and he just got the name wrong.
No. And then I was trying to think. I can't remember any other famous people that I've worked with, but like yeah,
they haven't like, been that famous then.
Probably not, but they do tend to be like really nice and professional. And I didn't meet anyone that was like an arsehole or anything, which is good. That's pretty much
the
me.
Story of Jonk.
Who's next then?
Post-university, pre-channel.
Well, I think we should do Ellis, because, I mean, they both did the same degree.
Mine's a lot more of a convoluted story, though.
Yeah, go on, then.
Oh, no, we love
I
think
I had a lot more jobs in between time. So, go on.
No, you go.
All right, so, I did the same course as Jake. I didn't pick it because I thought I was going to be a music person. I picked it because I had no idea what the fuck I wanted to do for university and it sounded fun. Got to, by the second year, I also realized that there were very few jobs for this sort of thing, so I was trying to sort of branch out, and I decided to try to go for sound design for video games, because that was sort of my thing. Passed out with a 2-1 at 60.5%. So I just scraped a 2-1.
Fucking barely got a 2-1, yeah, yeah. Jesus.
So yeah, 61% rounded up.
Nice, good job.
And then started on the... basically needed to work straight away because I had no home to go to, so I was I was with Kath at the time, so we decided we were going to rent a place together. So I had to find work pretty much instantaneously, and luckily I managed to quite quickly find a job at a new estate agent's attached to a housing association.
You were an estate agent.
I was working as a rental person, so I sort out rental properties for.
I wouldn't buy anything from you
for a housing association. So I was there for about 6 months, give or take.
Yeah.
And it was fucking soul destroying because it was brand new. There was no one coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there was literally nothing to fucking do. Most of it was just like walking around handing out flyers and posting spam mail through people's letterboxes and stuff.
No, oh, great.
I got so sick of it, and I was like, right. And I was all this time I've been trying to find a work in for sound for games. But the problem is that it's one of those typical industries where you need experience to get the job, but to get the job you need experience. It's like an incestuous loop that of people who know other sound designers get those jobs because they know people and they get the experience and they can apply for new jobs. So like there's very few people actually get in.
Yeah.
So I was like, I gotta find a way to get some experience. So I got in contact with a game developer down in Swansea, a small one. Only four people, but it was enough to like start working for them remotely for free, like Jake did.
Yeah.
Sound designing for I think it was for an iPad, for a couple of iPad games to start off with.
And
then
cool.
about a couple more months, I took the plunge. I had a bit of money saved up from something completely separate, which I'm not going to go into because it's going to be forever. But my mum became a nun, sold everything. And gave me and my brothers a bunch of money, so I had some of that saved up. So I used some of that as like to pay myself minimum wage, then go and work and commute to Swansea. So I worked for the game. I paid myself volunteering for this game dev for about a year to build up experience, which very nearly worked actually. I had two interviews with two different game studios. One in Guildford, who make all the Microsoft Flight Sim games now. Dovetail Games.
Yeah.
Also, if I came second out of everyone in this next one for the guys who make Devil May Cry.
Biggest prick.
Oh shit.
So if I hadn't have come second, I would, rather than doing this, I'd have probably been working on, it was when they released DMC Devil May Cry. When they did the remake and the reboot, so I've been working on that.
God damn, you've been working on
Senua's Sacrifice.
Yeah, and I've been working on Senua's
Sacrifice.
Do you
regret your life choices, or?
well, no, I didn't get the job because I came second. I think one of the reasons why I might have come second is if I don't know if Kath remembers this, but my computer broke just before this interview.
Oh my god!
So I was doing, bear in mind, I was using Reaper DAW to like line everything up to get all the sounds and everything else and do all the editing and stuff. I was doing that on Kath's Toshiba laptop.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
From what, like, it was like 3 or 4 years old at the time.
Yeah, it was old.
Wasn't a high spec machine. I had to grab the files and everything else and go to a mate's place. Install everything on his computer to actually render the fucking thing out because Cass's laptop couldn't do it.
Oh no.
The worst thing about
that was, I still came fucking second. So
I think the worst thing about that story is that you were the only applicant.
Oh, fuck off.
Just such I'm an sorry, a-hole.
Do you know who got the position? Actually, you could probably find out, like, because they're probably on the, well, you know, she might be on the sound engineering team of whatever.
Yeah. But yeah,
oh,
so,
dude.
And then it got to the point after about 12, after those two failures, it got to the point where I was starting to eat too much into the spare money we had left over. So we wanted to get married, and we wanted to keep a deposit for a house back as well.
Yeah.
So it got to the point where we were eating far enough into it. I was like,
well, we basically looked at the sum of money and we were like, we can get married and buy a house, or you can keep doing this and we might be able to buy a house.
Yeah. So I
took the safe bet home.
Yeah, so I took the safe bet and stopped.
Yeah.
And then had to find work again. And the only thing I could find was flipping burgers in central Cardiff. At this point, I lived on the outskirts. And most of my main shift was Sundays. Well, there were no trains running. And I'd be there for 8 o'clock in the morning.
It sounds so depressing.
So I had an hour and a half walk every Sunday.
Oh my god, you fucking walked there?
Oh yeah, I lived in Llandaff.
Yeah, from Llandaff North.
I lived in Llandaff North.
To Central Cardiff.
Right next to Junction 32 on the M4. And
yeah,
I had to walk into Central Cardiff down following the Taff River. All the way.
Oh my god.
Every Sunday. And I kept that going for about 3 months. And fuck me, to all you guys who work in fast food places and whatnot, more power to you, because Jesus Christ, that was the shittest job I've ever done in my life. And honestly, I would rather starve than do it again. It was so fucking depressing.
Oh my god,
it was the worst thing I have ever done, and I will never ever ever do it again. So you guys who work for KFC, McDonald's, all that sort of thing, when I tell people not to get that job, it's not because I think the job's beneath me, it's because it was the fucking worst thing I've ever done, and I am astounded that you guys can keep it going.
I got rejected by McDonald's.
Yeah,
so
honestly,
mate.
Honestly, for the best, worst work I've ever done in my life.
Was it McDonald's that you worked?
No,
at?
No, it was Grace and Another.
I think myself quite lucky in that respect, because I ended up doing more retail work than I did ever hospitality.
Yeah.
And
fast
I think
food
hospitality
sucks.
Suits some people. I think hospitality, like, some people thrive in that environment, and I am not one of those people.
Yeah, fast food fucking sucked.
Mm. Yeah.
So I got super fucking depressed, like super, super, super depressed. And I was like coming home every day, depressed, miserable, knackered, and stinking of fucking
grease
and fat.
So what's changed?
Now you only stink of grease.
No.
So eventually, I said to Catherine, I've got to pack this in. Like, this is killing me. I will go on the dole. I will go back to job hunting, but this is sapping every bit of life I have. And
well, it was negatively impacting our relationship.
Yeah, and it was barely enough money to keep us going anyway.
Yeah.
So I packed that in, started hunting again, and luckily I took a punt, because at that point I'd be doing a lot of I'd started like doing a lot of computer work and building more computers and things like that.
Yeah.
And a place in Bridgend was hiring for a IT support guy, base level.
Hmm.
So I applied for that, and I only got the interview for that because I'd done the game stuff beforehand.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, they were like, oh, this guy's interesting.
It makes
sense. Exactly,
yeah.
Because obviously creative thinking outside the box, etc.
Yeah, exactly. It makes you a prime candidate.
They pulled me into that. I absolutely fucking smashed the interview. I missed one question from the technical side of things.
Yeah.
That was on how to input IP addresses, because, of course, at home... you don't really need to fuck about with IP addressing unless you have a multi-computer network or anything.
Yeah.
So finally got that job. That's the job where I met Paul, who we were talking about in one of the previous
shout
podcasts.
Out to Paul.
Who's shout out to Paul.
Worked there for a year and a bit, maybe 2 years. Built up a load of experience. And then my mate, who I'm still really good friends with now, went to join the police.
Yeah.
As a network engineer. He wanted me to apply for that job, for another job with him in that same department.
Mm.
But at the same time, there was a job with the devices department, which is actually more my thing. I'm not much of a network guy. I'm more a physical hardware box and software.
Right.
So I applied for that, got that job, worked there for 2 years as support, then applied for the promotion, got promoted to a senior engineer. So I was technically a senior officer in the police at that point. And then stayed there for about another year or so. And at this point, from when I started my IT work onwards, that was pretty much when I started doing playing games with Jake and whatnot, and helping out with like little bits of stuff. And then, what was it, 2019?
Yeah,
Cat had a bit of a mental hiccup, let's say. And
just a smidge.
Everything went sort of shits up, and I was not in a good place. And at that point, Jake was like, you know, we're probably making just about enough money for me to, like, if you want to learn to edit, like, to employ you. I was like, oh, yeah, you know what? I'm going to, fuck it, we're taking the risk. So yeah. I canned my job and then started editing for Premade. That was it.
That must have been like fucking pretty high risk though, because I remember at the start
it was fucking
like,
terrifying.
Yeah.
To put it in perspective, Kath hadn't been working since 2017. So for 2 years she hadn't been working. So I was the sole income provider. I think I was probably on about £29,000 a year at the time.
Yeah.
And I binned it all in for not that.
A lot less.
Yeah. A lot less.
But yeah. enough that without the commuting, buying lunch, etc.
Yeah. And you could be at home, like work from home and look after Kath.
So that was the first 40 years of your life. What happened in the next 10?
I told you I had a lot going on.
Well, it's good because it shows people that all paths are not linear.
No.
Where, you know, it's not just woke up one day, decided to be a content creator, and now I'm here. Like,
I also I also forgot to say all the shit jobs that I did as well. Completely fucking skipped my mind.
Yeah.
But I used to work as in a cafe for Wessex Water. Nice. Sort of coffee and stuff. I did pizza delivery for Domino's. I then did like landscaping and gardening as well.
Oh, that's for your dad, wasn't it?
No, that was just for another person who I knew from the bar.
Another person he called Daddy.
Which is hilarious because of your hay fever issue.
Oh yeah, I know, yeah. It wasn't so bad then, I don't know why. I mean, it was bad. I can't remember it being particularly bad when I was doing those jobs. And then, then I worked as in a wedding venue as a waiter and barman.
I worked as a wedding venue.
If you ever got married at Preston Mill in just outside Bath, then there's a good chance that I was at your wedding in the background, like dropping
glasses,
champagne flutes and stuff. Yeah. No, I didn't drop that much stuff. But yeah, what about you, Gabby? Do you want to go?
I think we should do Kath and then me, just because everybody already knows from many jokes what I was in, so
I don't.
It makes sense.
What are you in? I don't remember.
Finance?
Yeah, that was it.
Was there something?
Astronomy.
Oh, that's, yeah. That's God, that's a bit of a step down, isn't it? For astronomer to content creator.
Yeah, just a touch.
Astrology.
Yeah, that was it.
Nuclear physicist to
make dick jokes on the internet. Yeah.
Oh, you laugh, but that's basically what happened to Harry Hill. He's a qualified doctor, isn't he? Now he's a comedian.
Yeah, true.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Yeah. True. I guess it depends what you're able to do.
Yep.
I mean, it's a doctor of desks, but...
So I went to uni. I did a BA ons in English literature. So that was 3 years. Yeah, 3 years worth of uni. I got a 2.2, which is essentially a C?
It's B. It's a B.
Is it a B?
Is it a B? I think it's a C, dude.
No, it's B, A star.
Oh, okay. Are you sure? Yep. Yeah, you're just adding the A there to make
a third is a C.
No, okay.
Oh, I don't think so, mate. Because that's 40-50%.
That's what I'm not saying.
This is all jargon to me. I've literally got no idea what you're saying.
Okay.
As in grade wise, so C, B, A star or A plus is usually C 50, B 60, A 70, A star is above.
Above 70.
Yeah, normally. Yeah.
Right, okay.
Okay, so I got a 2.2. I worked all the way through uni. So that was... I had so many jobs. I was working in uni. Most of it was in either shops. As like a shop assistant. I worked in cafes. I worked in bars. I did a lot of night shifts. So I worked all the way through university, ended up getting really, really poorly towards the end of my third year. So I ended up getting an extension on my dissertation.
Oh, cool.
So then did dissertation. So basically because I was working all the time, I have a lot of chronic health issues. So working constantly in uni, just those are just the amount of stress and stuff that I was under as well. I really, really struggled. So I got a lesser mark as a result of it because I couldn't put all my concentration into uni. And realistically, the degree I was doing wasn't the right degree for me anyway. I got diagnosed with really bad dyslexia like halfway through my degree.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm doing a literature degree and I can't fucking read.
Yeah.
Great.
English illiterature, they should have called it.
Yeah. So I shouldn't have been doing English literature anyway, because my...
What can you do with a BA in English?
I think you'll find the tune is, what do you do with a BA in English?
You become an English teacher?
What is my life going to be? And extra points if you know what that musical is. Mm-hmm.
Where is that from?
That's from Avenue Q. It's literally the first line of Avenue Q.
Oh, right.
It's basically the puppet has gone and gotten itself a BA in English. It's sat there going, what do I do with my life now?
It's the same musical that had the internet for porn song.
Okay.
Right,
okay.
Porn. The internet's for porn. So grab your dick and double click. Porn.
That's Avenue Q. Yeah. But it's basically the Muppets on crack. It's brilliant.
It's absolutely fantastic.
Finished uni. I basically handed in my dissertation, and at the time I was a manager in a shop. I went on holiday for a week. I came home. As I got off the plane, I had a phone call from one of my employees saying, there's bailiffs in the shop. You need to get here now.
Oh my God.
I actually got off the plane at 7 a.m, got off the plane, went straight into Cardiff. I got there there were bailiffs there. So I basically said, right. I said, I'll unlock the shop for you. There's no point in you unlock it. You like breaking the doors down. I was like, I'll unlock it for you. However, I was like, I am paying my staff first and then you can have whatever's left in the safe. So I did that.
What did that happen? Was it like, was something dodgy going on behind?
The entirety of the company went into liquidation.
Oh, so they had debts.
Yeah.
Shit.
And we were like one of the last stores still open.
Oh my God. So,
that's crazy. So paid everyone.
Probably, yeah.
Paid everyone and then they took the rest. There wasn't much left because
we're a little shop. They're like fucking vultures, aren't they?
Yeah. So then after that, then I think I was on the dole for a little bit. I worked in Sports Direct for a month. That's a sports shop in the UK, if you don't know what that is.
It's one of the Donalds of sports shops, isn't it?
I worked in the stock room.
That was
Christmas time,
wasn't it? Because it was Christmas
time. No, it was just before that.
Was it?
I got really, really ill because I was working. I had to be there for 4 a.m.
Really?
So I was doing like 4 a.m. till 11 a.m. shift. Mm. And then quite often then they would want me to come back at 2 p.m. and do it until close at 9.
What the fuck? Mm-hmm. Are you serious?
And this made me so ill that I've got a heart condition. So I started to develop arrhythmia, which is basically where your heart doesn't have an even beat and it misses beats or it like goes too fast. So I had to stop because I was just like, I'm literally going to put myself in hospital if I'm not careful.
Yeah.
So then I got a job working in HR factory who made cakes. So I went there.
I was like, wow, that's industrial.
Made cakes.
They made cakes.
Cakes.
Yes, cakes. They basically didn't want to they had a grant from the government and basically once it got past the probation period they had to pay more and the company had to contribute more, so they fired me the day before my probation ended.
Fuck, dude, are you serious?
That's an HR violation. You should have taken
yeah I know, right? So then I think I was unemployed for like 2 weeks, then went into recruitment.
Oh, yeah.
Worked in recruitment for 3 years? Something cool. like that. So I worked in technical recruitment, which is like engineering and lean management and all that sort of stuff. I then went into...
Then you got ill.
Then I got ill.
Mentally ill this time, I think it was.
No, physically. I was in hospital in a, oh, no, that was, off,
that,
like,
was, that was hospital over Christmas, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, yeah, don't was spend, two, was two don't years spend Christmas in hospital. Yeah. It's shit.
It was 2 years rather than three, by the way.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I left... lost my job there because of being ill. I then you'll find this is a pattern.
Yeah, this is going to be a regular occurrence.
So I then went to work for a recruitment company that recruited for teachers. So I went to work for them for a bit. I then got sacked from there for being ill. I then went to work in property management. So I managed something like 250 to 300 properties remotely. Yeah. All my properties were based in Southampton. I was based in Cardiff.
But then you were in Wales.
Yeah.
How the fuck you... What the fuck, dude?
By having very good connections with tradies in Southampton.
Like, why did they pick Wales of all places?
Because the office space
that was
is
where
cheap.
The main hub was. So there are people in the main hub in the office that I was in. There were people managing properties in areas all over the UK. So like someone across from me, for example, they were managing a bunch of properties in Crawley in London.
Wales and the North especially tend to have a lot of places like that because the offices, office spaces are cheap, and also compared to the rest of the UK, you can pay people less.
I was going
to say, is this the equivalent of outsourcing to like India or
exactly? Yeah, the Philippines. But it's local. It's local outsourcing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I worked there, and then end of 2015, I basically got diagnosed with early onset menopause and ovarian failure, which meant that I wasn't going to be able to have kids. So Ellis and I were due to be getting married in 2016. I ended up then having like a serious mental breakdown from all the different bits and bobs. So didn't go back to work. Got married in 2016. Kept trying to get better, like working on myself, loads of therapy and blah, blah, blah. Went back to work in 2017, which was for DWP, which Department of Work and Pensions. Who deal with my department was dealing with personal independence payment. Again, I got really ill, had a major mental breakdown, which ended up in the noobs. So when people Google my name, that is the first article that comes up. I would just like to point out, it is not appropriate to keep linking that to me. People who do that in my DMs, please don't do that.
Kind of wild.
We did it as a way of trying to raise awareness for the fact that there was no help at the time when Ellis and I were really struggling.
Not at the time, there still isn't.
Well, still isn't, yeah.
They go, oh, sorry to hear that.
Yeah. It was a shit time.
That was a time.
So then 2017 was when, May 2017 was when Ellis and I started doing stuff with WPE. I basically never went back to a normal job, in inverted commas, and just started doing streams of WP, and I started my channel, I think, in the November of 2017, as a way to try and help myself from the previous mental breakdown from a month ago.
Because you were being sat at home doing absolutely nothing.
Because I was sat at home doing nothing.
I remember having like chats with you about like how you could start up your own channel and do stuff. And
because
spent about a grand buying you a decent laptop, didn't we? So you could sit on the sofa and be comfortable and everything.
So back then I would literally stream every single day, but that was because I was on my own all day every day. I didn't have a dog at the time. I didn't have, and all my other friends and stuff were all working full time. Ellis was working full time. And we would only stream with WP, I think it was 7:30 in the evening. So I'd be sat at home all day on my own. So I basically just used to stream, and that's how I started my channel, was a way of helping my mental health and giving myself something to actually do.
And try and get a bit of extra income, because it was, give or take, realistically, bar that sort of small 6 month period from 2015 till 2018, I think, when we started it. No, 2019, when we started earning a bit of extra money from the main channel. That was
yeah.
That we were a single income household.
Yeah.
Basically,
yeah.
what I earned was everything. So we
were exceptionally poor for a long time.
We had two people living off. Majority of the time, I was on like £20,000.
Yeah, fucking hell.
And then when I got to the police, I went from 20 to 23. And then when I finally got promoted, I went to 27 and then worked at 29 and then fucking gambled it all on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, oh, man. Yeah. And that's basically where we are now.
Those 7:37 o'clock streams were rough.
Oh, they were.
I know,
they
were
so rough. I used to edit afterwards as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
I remember I used to do clip hunting for you, didn't I, back...
Yeah,
I used to cut out the clips for you.
I remember there were entire weeks I just couldn't join in.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you had late shifts, right?
It was either 11:7s or 12:8s.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Yeah,
I remember that because like we got this like really really cheap office in Cardiff.
Yeah.
And like because I was basically in Mark Andrews, famous wrestler's spare room. Like renting a room off him, and like I remember, I was like, "Oh fuck, okay, we better get an office." Because I'm like, there's like text messages from him, being like, "Jake, like, are you right to keep the noise down a bit? Like, the neighbors might think we're having an argument or something." Like that happened like a couple of times. And I was like, "Oh yeah, but time to move out."
And we did that one stream in your house. Where it was just me and you.
Yeah, yeah.
And we did keep talking and everybody explodes.
Yeah,
and we were like. Honestly, basically sat in each other's lap. Every time we tried to move our hands, we were stroking each other's crotches.
Yeah.
Like the amount of... It was
maybe
ridiculous.
That was the intention.
Like,
yeah.
And then we started streaming. Yeah, it's like we were sat next to each other and directly behind us, basically touching our backs was a green screen.
Yeah,
and then directly behind that was the bed. And that was it.
Crap.
That was the entire room.
Yeah.
Yep.
So... and then... But yeah, I remember those streams because it was like, it was so fucking late. Like now, imagine if we did that now, like starting at 7:30 and finishing at like 10:30, 11. Like, yeah. Fuck, man. Because I wasn't getting back till like 11:30, 12 every single
That's
day.
That's definitely past your bedtime anyway, Jake.
Yeah.
I know. Well, I had the ability to actually sleep past fucking 7 a.m. back then. I could wake up at 9 and actually have a relatively good night's sleep, you know?
It all changed.
COVID kind of came along. And
yeah.
It sort of helped us in a way.
Oh, big, like, we wouldn't be...
Oh, no, yeah, definitely. COVID, as a shitty thing as it was
100%,
really beneficial.
Yeah.
Not in the grand... No.
what you mean is, like, because everyone was in lockdown...
Yes.
Everyone was at home.
Not the fact that people were dying. I'm not saying that's beneficial.
Yeah. Because, yeah, everyone... Yeah, we know what you mean. Everyone was at home, like, with nothing to do. Yeah. And then suddenly the channel just went...
Yeah, it was
and then it kind of put us in a position to, like essentially hire people and to level up the channel to the next stage. But because we had a YouTube rep and he's like, these numbers are like really impressive for your size. That was after, because what he saw was a lot of channels like did boom in COVID, but their numbers went back down afterwards. But we actually managed to sustain the numbers and then also increase them on top of that.
Mm.
So like, yeah, so that was good to hear that. But yeah, but COVID obviously wasn't a good time for everyone. We all suffered in our own ways.
Yeah. Yeah,
but the channel, definitely. At least there is a very small silver lining that the channel was able to then
do
support us all.
So
what, and then some into the future. Yeah.
So what about you, Gabby? I think it was something about some sort of design. I think you did. I can't remember.
Of the possibly graphic variety.
Was it some sort of graphical design?
Oh no, it was graphing. It was Excel graphing.
Draft grooming.
Draft
so
destiny.
Not many people know this. But I was born with a pencil in my hand.
I was born with a pen. Anyway.
I've been designing since day dot.
I redecorated the inside of my mother's womb.
Oh, no! Jace!
Fuck it out.
I was always into drawing.
If you're listening.
Right, and I was one of those kids who got really passionate about colouring in competitions.
Oh, so, I did as well.
Yeah, I would always win them. Always. I was like competitive about colouring in competitions. I was always like into drawing, and I think I'd mentioned on the channel before that
I accidentally got into it. I enjoyed drawing, but I never thought of it as like a career, if that makes any sense. My career history is much like you guys, a bit all over the place, I think.
Yeah.
Why
don't you go from uni?
Well, I'm going to go just before.
Okay.
So I kind of want to give people the honest story of what happened with me, which was I was in high school and I had no clue what I was doing, but I knew that I was the art student. I'm using quotation marks there for anyone who is not watching the video. And because of that, there was a lot of, I don't know if the word was pressure, but there was an expectation. Because I don't know if they do it here. I don't think you can. In New Zealand, I was put up a year.
I don't think they do that here, no.
Yeah, so in fine arts, I completed that a year before I was meant to. And so my final year, my arts teacher was like, look, you need to do a art subject. I don't care. Just pick one. You're doing it. And I was like, okay. So I did graphic design. I went in final year having no clue what I was doing. My first assignment, everything was on one layer. I didn't know what the hell was going on. I basically had never used Photoshop before in my life. I was shit in the bed and freaking out. So towards the end of that year, my high school best friend and I were looking at going down to university. I didn't know what the hell I wanted to do. I know I liked hanging out with her. We were playing music. It was all a really good time. And so we were going to go down and live in a city with her and her sister. And unfortunately, her sister passed away the day before I was meant to go down and see if I liked the city that I was going to go live in. And so I'm not going to go into the intricacies of that, but I will let everyone know it was really shit. It was monumentally shit for everyone involved. But I freaked out because I was presented with a situation here. And you guys tell me what you would do. Would you rather stay in a small town and be depressed and hate yourself because the expectation was that you were meant to go to university after you finished school? Or go to the town that you've never seen anyway and be depressed at university?
First one.
I picked option one
because if you're going to be depressed, you might as well be depressed in somewhere you know.
Well, see, that's what I should have done, Alex. I should have done that, but I didn't. Especially because I think at that age, I was very much like, there's this pressure after high school as well where like, everyone's going off to university and all the people that you know are going off to do really cool things. And then if you were reflecting on yourself just in a small town, trying to get over what the hell just happened to you, that for me was like, nah, I just need to go. And so I went down to the small town and I picked up fine arts. And I don't know why I did that.
This is for me.
I shall do this. I'm going to do fine art. And I got there and it was so fucking weird. I remember just some lady who had dreadlocks, who smelled like she hadn't showered in like a week, was giving us a presentation like on like how she had like managed to gather the ether and channel that energy into her painting and her artwork. And I was sitting there like, I made a Pokeball out of aluminium. Yeah, cool. Okay. So like, I was just kind of fucking around and then realized like, what the hell am I doing here? Drank far too much. I was not in a good space. Ran away from the city that I was meant to be in. And then eventually decided I was going to drop out. So that was my first stint at university. Second stint was at Christchurch University in New Zealand, where I decided to do psychology, sociology, anthropology, and art history.
That's a mixture.
Yeah. Funnily enough, I was still depressed.
What?
Yeah, apparently the feelings did not go away. You have to feel those feelings. And I hated it, actually, because I was forced to, like, you have to write papers. And I enjoyed the psychological aspect. I enjoyed learning. But when you asked me to write it, I was like, what's the point? I'm not making anything. There's no output. And everyone just sat in lecture theaters and looked depressed. Like I wasn't making friends. I couldn't like connect with people because everyone was just like, ugh, and then it would go home. I was also drinking. Would not recommend that. So at that point, I was like, I needed to go recover. At that point, I was like, shit, I fucked up. I'm in debt big time. and so
two attempts at university, like.
Yeah, and so then I was like, okay, my career. I'm going to start working. I should earn money now. And I got a job in a jewelry shop. And just kind of worked there for a couple of years until eventually I said to myself, like, look, this is enough. I need to go back to university. I think I'm probably going to go do graphic design. And I realized there
the rest is history.
I know, it's because I realized the graphic design was a combination of the psychological part of the marketing mm-hmm. combined with the creative output of the fine arts. Mm-hmm. And you could actually use it to make money. But the fine arts, I was like, how am I gonna live? Like, I think it's important that people are creative, and if you are exceptionally great at it. But I didn't like painting. I like drawing. And people don't care about drawing, they care about paintings. So I was like, okay. Went and moved up to Auckland, and that is where I met Nicolas.
Nicolas?
In the same degree. That degree took me about 3 years. I can't remember what I graduated with, but I think it was good. Okay, so there cool. we go. Gonna put that there. I generally aimed to get some pretty high marks.
Did you pass?
Definitely.
With the distinction.
I wasn't top of my class, but I think I was up there.
Were you like 69.5% like me?
I don't know what that means, nice. But my general
nice.
My general pass grade was probably about A-.
Okay, cool. So that's probably 69.
Yeah.
Nice.
Which was like, I'm kind of trying to prove to myself as well the fact that I could do this, because I just spent like two times going to university and dropping out. Mm-hmm. Compounded now by knowing that I had ADHD, that makes a lot more sense to me, and I don't judge myself as much about that anymore. After I finished uni, much like Jake, I had a panic attack and went, fuck, I'm going into the real world.
panic.
And then I was working in a tea shop. So during university, I was working in a plus size clothing store, which I really liked.
Is that City Chic?
Yes.
Cool.
They got shout out to City Chic. I quite like their clothes. And then at the time, I was like, shit. There was like a change of management, and I was like, yo, she crazy. So I just tapped out of that store and then worked at the tea store across the road, which was like a really cool job, but was panicking because I didn't know what the hell I was doing, so I kind of just went back to university, okay? and I did a diploma of creative advertising, which essentially got me into the whole art direction space. And at this point, Nick had gone off and actually started work in a graphic design company. And a lot of my mates at uni that finished up went on to do working in careers and jobs and big kid jobs. And I was sitting there being like, fuck, I feel like a bit of a piece of shit because I just went back to university.
I was like, why do you feel like a piece of shit for going back? That's fine, isn't it?
Well, it was because like at that point, the rest of your social group is like earning money.
Okay. Oh, so all your peers have like been like, I'm going to go work in the real world.
Your peers are earning money and they are getting real world experience. And I was at university. And because I cannot explain how intensive this course was, it was like you were meant to be in there at 8 o'clock and you weren't meant to leave the classroom until like 10 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
It was...
That is very intense.
It was intensive. My mental health took such a hit during that year.
Yeah.
But I have learned some amazing things from that course. Amazing things, the way that I see and do shit. And what ended up happening from there was after, I didn't realize this, but when I signed up for it, apparently you get a job in the industry after.
Oh.
So yeah, after I finished up uni, I managed to get that one with distinction, the diploma of
Nailed
creative
it.
Advertising. Yep. Which made a lot of people upset.
Oh, really? Why?
Because my portfolio was a shit show. My creative partner at the time, like, we were basically the class clowns. And
that was a little surprising.
Yeah, and we were all over the place, and there was lots of crying and tears, and people working really, really hard to get it.
Oh.
And then, but because it's creative advertising, the point is that you're meant to be a bit loopy and weird, and then you end up getting distinction, and then everyone hates you because you're like,
right, I see.
Do you know what I mean? And in a weird way, it was also quite difficult because, like, And ironic, we both now do not work in advertising.
Yeah. You just do things for fun and then leave.
Yeah, yeah, literally what it was like. And so I went on to then do a internship at a well-known established advertising agency, mm-hmm. which decided to then pay us in gift cards.
Wow.
And I had to effectively, I don't think it's money laundering, but I kind of had to like
I had to money laundering.
I had to pay myself through a credit card to pay my rent.
So you basically got given, you got given gift cards for a certain mall,
isn't that
right?
Illegal.
Yes.
Well, yes.
Yeah. And
definitely.
So yeah, I ended up getting paid in gift cards, which like they didn't officially say it was pay, but they said, hey, we'll give you this. And I was like, okay. But and the thing is that it's very typical of that industry. It's very much like work for exposure. And then you're like, how do I eat?
Get paid in exposure dollars. So you have to like launder your own paycheck, basically.
Kind of.
Expose yourself and get paid.
Well, yeah, because those cards could only be used at certain shops and or a mall. Mm. Turns out that you could use them on PayPal.
Okay.
Right.
So I PayPal'd the money into my PayPal account and then transferred that to my bank account, incurring a loss of some of that money because PayPal takes cash.
PayPal charges, yeah.
But I could pay my rent.
That's so scummy, isn't it?
At that
why did they do that? Was that just so they could easily dispose of you if you...
It was possibly also so that they don't have traceable outgoings.
Also,
it's going to be a lot hard. Yeah, it's going to be a lot harder to trace employer, like paying employees if there's no cash going out.
Yeah.
But more importantly, it's a tax write-off because technically if you're buying gift cards, you say they're a gift. If it's a gift, therefore it's not taxable.
So
I know, but so is actually paying employees. Nah,
paying employees, you still have to pay, well, over here anyway, you still got to pay VAT, not VAT, you got to pay tax for that employer's salary. And you've got to pay national insurance contributions as well, for example, in the UK. So if paid via gift card, you wouldn't have to pay anything other than whatever their pay is.
Hold on.
Is that the reason?
Gabby, did you sign a contract with them at any point?
I don't think so.
Then it's not legal. You weren't employed.
Oh, yeah.
It's shady as fuck.
Don't get me wrong.
It's shady and immoral, but it's
scummy.
A bit of paper that I signed, I think, at the beginning, which was just the expectation that I would be there at set time and would be a month-long internship.
It's not.
And so they basically covered themselves in that respect, which, you know, like, I understand the industry did what they did. And when you go into the industry, you have to then accept the fact that you will be selling your soul to the devil. Mm-hmm. You are going into this knowing that you're meant to like the hustle and not care about the ramifications of what this industry will do to you.
Oh,
everyone was an alcoholic.
I imagine a lot of cocaine.
I've got a story about that later.
Yeah.
A lot of cocaine. You know, there was lots of betting and gambling taking place. Like, I haven't seen Mad Men, although I've got every intention to do it. But I can imagine it's a lot like that. And it's all run by white men.
Similar to recruitment.
And in New Zealand, it's all British English white men who've gone over there and then are working in positions of power. Like, and it's like there are a few women scattered around, not to say that there isn't, but like it's a lot harder to kind of get into the boys club. And it's one of the only times, like, I've experienced issues around sexism. I know it's a hot topic to bring up, but like it's one of the only times in my life where I was like, okay, I see it.
There are definitely some industries that have just there's no arguing, they just have frat boy mentalities.
Yeah.
Stock trading being one of them.
Recruitment
being another, and then advertise. Basically, anything that involves high pressure sales as well tends to be boys' frat club and drugs and shit everywhere.
It's insane. And at that point, I ended up being like, at the end of the internship, because my partner didn't even want to do it. He was like, "Look, I'll do the internship with you, get some experience." And then I'm tapping out. I was like, "Okay, fair enough." I got into a state of like, "Shit! All my friends from uni are working high paying jobs." I finished uni, I got a internship, but like I've got no money coming in, and I just kind of freaked out and been like, dude, I've been wanting to travel since 2012. I'm just gonna go. So I saved up money, went overseas for a bit. While I was overseas, one of the people in my class commented on my stuff and was like, hey dude, like I need a partner. My one's dropped out or whatever. Do you wanna meet up? I managed to get a job at another advertising agency while I was overseas. So I was like, cool, I'm going to come back for that. Another big company, went into it, the most depressed that I have been in my adult life.
Mm.
It was horrible. It was horrific. You were meant to be in... I got there arriving some mornings at 7:30 and staying until 10 or 11 o'clock at night. I put on the most weight I ever have in my life working in that job because I wasn't eating well. I was like ordering takeaway all the time because you couldn't go home to eat. And I fucked up my stomach because I would go in the morning and have a shot of espresso as breakfast. It was horrible. And then
that sounds nice.
Like during that time, just the amount of stuff that went wrong, like it was just, I remember like sitting vividly at this desk. My boss comes into the room. He kind of puts his hands on the table around everyone. And he's like,
how long were his guys? Arms?
Except
he's got everyone.
Mr. Tickle walks in.
He puts his hands on the table and he says, you've got until 12 o'clock to come up with an award-winning idea internationally. Go.
What the fuck?
And everyone's shitting the bed because this company, not just the company, it's the industry, has its own award system that it's kind of put in place, like Cannes International Festival of Creativity or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you go, what? And you have to just do it? And yeah, it was just so bad. There's so many stories I could tell from this, but at the end of the day, I appreciate the experience I had, but it was not for me. It was
there
not
are
for
some
me.
Horrific stories that you've
I've,
told me.
I've
that
got
like,
a few stories.
I don't know if you could repeat them here, but like it
was bad.
It was like fucking Wolf of Wall Street type bad.
Yeah.
Like
I can think. I've actually got a few because when I was working in insurance, they did their own award show type thing. They hired out a big venue. The party thing afterwards, drugs and threesomes in the toilets.
Oh my god!
Yeah. Yeah. There was a work email sent around in the creative department at the place that I worked for saying, hi, can we please stop having sex on the meeting room desk? What the fuck? Like, apparently the cleaners caught someone and the dude was having an affair or some shit like that.
The other one is getting a promotion. There's a lot of boinking to get promotions because there were definitely managers who would not be in that position had they not shagged.
Oh yeah, there was a lot of that in the recruitment places.
These industries, they're just dark.
It's wild. And then I remember, so there was
no one ever slept with me to get.
You should have put your application in.
I would have slept with him. I mean, what?
No, but at the Christmas party, everyone was getting crazy with it, and I was like, look, I'm too depressed and sad for this. I'm just gonna go home and watch Netflix. The next day came in and they were doing the kind of weekly meeting where everyone was catching up. And one of the creative directors who was talking to the client at the time, nose started pissing with blood during a presentation because she'd been in the bathroom the night before blasting it
up the nose.
And I was just like, what the fuck? And at this point, luckily, the chief creative officer took me and my partner into a room. And said to us, I'm so sorry, but following the next year, you know, at the end of this year, we're going to have to let you go because we don't have the budget to keep you.
Spent it all on cocaine.
My partner, I think, was like, you know, previous to that, I told her that I was kind of dead inside. And as soon as he said that, he was like, oh no. Oh, such a shame.
Oh, I've been bloody well fired. Oh,
God,
no.
God, what will I do? Oh, and so then I went home and I was like, yes. And like, Nick and the people I was staying with at the time can attest to this. He saw me have my soul sucked out of my body for like the 9 months that I was working there.
I have a genuine question for you.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just leave and find something new?
It's hard to explain. Because
I had that same thing happen to me. I just tapped the fuck out. I was like, I'm not a mental breakdown. Yeah, I'm not risking everything for some other dickhead to make their money. I'm out.
Mm. Yeah, it's a combination of things.
Mm.
It was the fact that I'd spent 3 years doing a graphic design degree, one additional year specializing, the cost of my student loan that I put into that, to then have the expectation and the help from my tutors of earning the distinction diploma, to go into this industry and thrive and be told that you could do well and earn awards, and only to get there and go, if I back out, I have wasted the past 4 years of my life. And while now I know that isn't true, I know that isn't true. At the time, I felt I owed it to my creative partner, because you work in a team. Your old lecturer who got you the job. I was in this state of like, I need to do this not just for me, but for other people. And it wasn't until I got to the end of that that I said, oh my God, fuck this.
Yeah.
I was so depressed at one point. I was trying to write a word down and I essentially couldn't remember how to spell. And it was the only time in my life I think, oh my God, my brain is so shriveled right now that I'm having episodes of like, what's it called?
Insanity.
Like, not Alzheimer's, like dementia, like dementia episodes because of how sad I was.
Yeah.
And so I said, fuck it. And I moved home with my mum at the ripe age of 26, 25? Was it 25 or 26?
Ladies and gentlemen who are watching, do not do what Gabby did. Do not let other people's expectations stick you in a place which is destroying you.
Learn from my mistakes.
Yeah, don't do it.
I only
get the fuck out.
I only quit my job when I had a breakdown.
Yeah.
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 I got home and I just started crying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, that change will be the best thing that you would have ever done, even though it's so scary to do it in the first place. And when I moved home, I ended up going into a virtual assistant role, a graphic design virtual assistant role.
Boom, there it is.
Yeah, which was just like, client wants a business card. I'm like, here it is. Took me 5 minutes to make. Have it. And then they go, cool, you can go home on time. And I'm like, what? And I had this weird almost like PTSD from my previous job, where I had a caring boss, a caring manager, a team who wanted to protect me against any dick clients, and getting paid a reasonable wage for it. And I just ended up being like, oh my God. I had like,
When did you wake up?
When I joined the channel and I met you.
Yeah,
sorry.
Time to smell the coffee.
Yeah. And yeah, during that time, I just stayed at home, helped my gran who did have dementia, saved money, and then went overseas. By the time I got here, I got a job in IKEA, had to be humbled because the UK employment system was not having it with me. Even though you have experience on the books, does not care because you haven't worked in the country before.
Nope.
So I had to go right back to square one. And then, yeah, I picked up doing editing / design / whatever the fuck else Jake wanted.
Keeping Jake in check and make sure he remembers to go for a piss and put his head on in the morning.
Well, that's nowadays. That's definitely nowadays. At the very beginning.
Do I go for a piss yet? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was just straight.
Put his hairband on.
Yeah.
Wipe his arse.
Look for his sleeves.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh, shit. I knew I forgot something.
Yeah. But that's my employment history. And I guess just like, the reason I wanted to make it very clear, kind of that from beginning to end, was just like, I want people to know that shit is not linear.
Yep.
Bad stuff happens. Yep. But like, if you keep cracking at it, you will get to a place that you want to be in.
Well, pretty much. Well, I mean, all of us have come from similarly cut pieces of cloth and just having to put up with shit service jobs.
What I've learned from today is that I've had significantly less jobs. I've had two
yes.
This is your third job, I guess.
Technically, yeah. I mean, I did 2 weeks work experience. Obviously, I'm not counting.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
But
oh, that's crazy, yeah. I've done a lot of shit. A lot of stuff. Long or short of it is, if you're in a shit job that you fucking hate now, just quit. No, don't quit. If you've got financial commitments, which means that it'll like really not help other people with you quitting, i.e. dependents, etc. And you might not feel like you have a choice to quit. I would just like find the time, make the time to then put into something that you that will enable you to quit in the future, even if it's like 1 to 2 hours per week. Like it all starts somewhere. So like if you've got like an idea for a side hustle, or like you just want to do like a degree, like an open university degree, those can fit in like alongside like full-time jobs. You can do it. I'm not going to say it's easy, because it will be fucking difficult. I've had to work my tits off to get to where we are here.
When I was helping out, it was streams 3 times a week in the evenings after work, and then on the weekends I'd then be doing the chopping up the footage for clips, and that was every week in week out for
like a year and a half. And it was like, everyone was working fucking full-time jobs, bar Kath. And it was like, and even Kath was still working like in the day on her Twitch channel. And then we'd have to do like, like 2.5 hours to 3 hours streams.
Yeah, three hours.
You had to be energetic.
Yeah,
at like 7:30 at night when everyone was falling asleep. It was fucking nails, dude. Oh my god.
Can I just say, we've done this whole podcast, and I've only just noticed that I had a little clump of hair that came from my hair that got hooked onto my necklace, and it's just been sat there the whole time.
Just chilling.
So this whole thing might look like I just have like a little hairy chest.
I don't think anyone can see it.
I don't think anyone would have noticed.
Really,
if you haven't said something,
not.
I don't think anyone noticed.
Okay, yeah, exactly, good. Yeah. Because I was just like,
plus it's behind your
mic. Pubes.
Now everyone's going to rewind.
Yeah.
I go and look for it.
I'm pretty sure it's behind your mic thickness. Most of the time.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, it's true.
But I will say one thing. Doing a job you hate, there is no better feeling than handing in your P4.
Oh, you're so right.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Honestly, it feels like you can fucking fly, doesn't it?
Because it doesn't matter. You're like, I've got a month left. You know how long you've got left. There's nothing changing that now.
Yeah.
It's like, here's the P45. Oh, you're quitting? Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Peace.
Yeah.
See ya.
Yeah.
And it feels even better if you've had a shit manager and then you tell them that we've been shit. And I've done that once. And do you know what they did? They were like, so we're actually going to just pay you out. So you don't have to finish work. We'll just pay you to leave.
That happened to me as well.
It's
like fucking Christmas is coming early.
Yeah. Here's your garden leave. Yeah. Fuck off.
Yeah. You will do a shit job, and our business will be worse off with you here.
Yeah.
I did, however, I did get upset when I left. My call center job. Yeah.
I think it's because you're institutionalized, aren't you?
Like, I was in a team, wasn't I? I knew everyone else hated it. The team were decent. Yeah. The people I worked with were fine. The management and the job itself.
If you are in a shit job and there are other people who also dislike the shit job, you're gonna make some real good friends. Because like there's nothing that bonds people more together than like shed suffering.
Trauma. Yeah.
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 True. And that's how you make good friends.
Yeah. Well,
all right then.
Thank you everyone for listening or watching.
Yes.
We'll be back another time, I guess. And I suppose we just say bye now. And let Nick get on with the edit.
Okay. Oh, well, goodbye. Are we saying goodbye now?
Oh, I don't know. Would you?
There's all.
Well, we need to finish. Bye. So bye.
Worst outro in the world.
Well, you kept interrupting. I was walking the dog this morning, and I needed a shit really bad earlier as well. And it got to the point where I could feel it coming out, and I was on my way back, and I had a spare dog poo bag, and I was like, should I just do it? Should I just squat down and hope no one walks past?
Oh my god, did you?
No, I didn't. I waited until I got home, but the temptation was there.
Nasty.
Would you poop directly into the bag, or would you like shit on the floor then pick it up?
I'd probably shit on the floor then pick it up, because if I hold the bag there I might miss anyway, and then I can't use the bag to pick it up because there's already shit in there.
Yeah, but then you have to think about if you need to shit that bad, other chances are that you've got diarrhea.
Oh no, I know it wouldn't be diarrhea. I know that much.
It wouldn't have been. Oh, I can never tell. I've been haunted by the past. Just because you never know. Like,
no.
I think you do know. If you feel it coming and it's like, if you can feel it poking out, baby, you know it's not diarrhea.
Should we?
Because diarrhea wouldn't
podcast?
Poke out. It would just.
Let's play a game of gas, solid, or liquid.
Are we talking about poo again?
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.